What a blessing to be able to come together and worship the Lord. Really appreciate the service thus far. Appreciate that devotional meditation when we think about peace. And it's because God loves us and He really wants to guide us through life. It goes very much with the message the Lord has laid in my heart this morning. Guided by His eye. Open your Bibles with me to Psalm 32, verse 8. Have you ever wondered what God's will was for your life? You know, the children of Israel, we're studying the children of Israel there at home in our Sunday school lesson. And they were going through the wilderness, and the pillar of fire led them by night, and the cloud led them by day. And they had no doubt as to where they were going. Now, they faced many troubles. Their faith was tested. But God just led them on. And sometimes we wish, oh, if God would only lead us that way. How do I really know what the will of God is for my life? Well, Psalm 32, 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. A promise that God has given to us that He's going to guide us with His eye. Have you ever seen a child or maybe children, were you ever guided by your father's eye? I know it had happened in our home already. I remember one time we were going to have a meeting with someone, and I told the children, I said, they're coming over to visit, and I said, at a certain, you know, we wanted some time to talk with them in private. So when the time came, we were there in the living room together, and it came time that I thought it's time for the children to go, so I just caught them one by one and nodded with my eye, you know, just like that a little bit, and one by one, I just left the room. I didn't have to say anything. But it's interesting, I had talked to them beforehand, and they knew what I wanted, and they had to look at me in order for me to catch their eye. Now, God desires to be with you this morning, but you need to look to God. He needs to be able to catch your spiritual eye. And not only that, but if we go to verse 9, it says, be not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So we catch the picture there of a horse or mule who's not willing to look at their master. They don't understand what their master wants. Their head's facing the other way. They're not looking at the man on their back. And so they have to have this bridle and these reins pulled into their mouth. And when they pull on that, it actually hurts their mouth, and so they turn their head. God wants us to keep our eyes upon Him, our spiritual eyes, so much that we understand and we know what He wants when He guides us. Not to be stubborn. Well, two things to keep in focus. God desires to guide His children. God loves you, and He desires to guide you. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. You get the picture there of a father and a son going down a stony path together, maybe a mountainside. And the father is holding the hand of his son as they walk this dangerous path. And his son trips and he falls. And the father holds him by the hand and he pulls him up because he loves his son. He wants to be there for his son. He doesn't want him to bruise his knees when he falls. God is very much like that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord delights to lead us. He loves us so much. He wants to lead you and I through life. He delights in us. How is that possible, we say? How would it be that God delights in you and I, who are nothing but flesh and bones here this morning? But He does. He delights in us. We sing the song, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Then verse 3. When I tread the verge of Jordan, the waters are rough, the Jordan's there, it's overflowing the banks, it looks hopeless to go on. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Isn't that what we want this morning? And God desires to do that. Sometimes, because of our short-sightedness, we forget to look to God, and we forget to watch His eyes. We forget to put our trust in Him. Psalm 73:24, Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Another thing to keep in mind is that God has a divine plan and a purpose for each one here. We are not here by chance. We are here by the divine will of God. My mind went to Esther there when Mordecai told Esther the Jews were going to be killed. And Mordecai told Esther, Esther was the queen there. And he said, Esther, he said, maybe God called you into this place for such a time as this. We know the story there, how Esther went before the king. And she said, I wasn't called. The king back then, if the king had not called you to him, to his presence, and you just would go into the presence of the king, he would have the right to condemn you to death because you dared enter his presence without being called. And Esther said, I wasn't called into the king for a long time. Maybe the king has something against me. Maybe he doesn't want me. Mordecai said, you need to go. You need to trust God, putting in my own words, and you need to go in there. Esther said, okay, I will go, but you need to have caused everybody to prayer and to fasting, and then I am willing to risk my life to go in before the king. God placed Esther in that place at that time to deliver his people. God has called every one of us here, and he has a purpose and a will for you and I. It's not just to make money. There are so many people around us that need to hear the gospel, that need saved from this wicked world. They need brought to understand, and their eternal souls need saved. And we are placed in a time for that. That's why we're here. Jesus said that. He said, I'm going to go. But he said, I want you to teach the people here. A few scriptural principles for discerning God's will for our life. We must choose God as our shepherd and guide. God will not force us to follow him. We must choose him. We must know God and yield our lives to him. Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, very common verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? What's a living sacrifice? A sacrifice is presenting something as a gift, giving something, not because I have to, but because I want to. A living sacrifice. A life that is alive. We give our all to Christ. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we need to give our life this living sacrifice. We sing that song, Poured Out. It's one of my favorite songs. Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar? Would you just give everything to God? Will you be like water just poured out to where God wants you? It holds no form of its own. It's just poured out. And then we're saying, yes, I'll be poured out like wine upon the altar for you. Commitment to God. Esther did this. We looked at Esther. And there's something that Esther did there. She said, I will go in before the king. I will risk my life. I will be poured out. But she said, I don't want anyone to eat or drink for 3 days. Now, I'm not sure how many of you fasted. Fasting for 3 days isn't that hard. But did you ever go 1 day without water? No water for 1 day? What about for 3 days? My understanding, as I studied this, I looked at it, and there's varied opinions on this, but if we kept up our regular work schedule, 3 days is about as much as we could go before we die for lack of water. She took it right to the end. Now, if we sat still in a controlled environment with moisture, we could go longer than that. But in a fairly dry atmosphere, 3 days is about as much as we could go until we would die from lack of water. And Esther said, I want you to go to the utter extreme. I want you to go 3 days without food or water, beseeching God for his will. I see that as a real sacrifice. I see that as a living sacrifice. She was completely poured out to the end. Our problem sometimes with this living sacrifice is that what if God's will is not according to what I want out of life? What if it doesn't match up to my ambitions for life? I want to have a good life. I want to have all my bills paid, and I want to have no debt, and I want to be able to go on vacation when I want to, and I want all this stuff. And what if God's will for me is not that? It's scary. Or God wants our talents. He wants everything we have. This sacrifice is to be holy, not only living, but a holy, acceptable unto God. Sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, totally given to God. As Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified in Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life that I now live. This morning, I have a glove up here. This glove in itself is not worth much. We're going to liken this to our life. This glove is a perfect glove. It's one I got from Brian. I find no fault on it. I don't find any dirt. It's perfect. The seams are great. It's just a really good glove. But what can this glove do in itself? It's as floppy as can be. There's nothing this glove can really do. It could lay here all morning, but it wouldn't get anything done. The life that I now live, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We're going to liken, it's when Christ comes into our life. Now what can this glove do? This glove can do as much as the hand that's in it can do. So I'm not that strong, but I could pick things up with this. With this glove, could now has the strength in it to perform tasks. When Christ comes into our life, he is abundant. He fills us. He provides for us. He has so much strength. And that strength comes into us and it fills our life. And we can live for him. And we can do whatever his will is because he gives us the strength. He says there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But I will give you the strength to overcome. He has enough strength. He said, I will call you to a task, and I will give you the strength to fulfill that task, because we are filled with the strength of God. The life that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Holy Spirit has come into my life, and it makes me able to overcome the temptations. It carries me through those storms of life because I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And my life, this poor floppy life that I am, can now have strength to move through life. And when we have that Spirit of God within us, now we can understand what His will is for us because He directs us with His eye. He gives us instruction on how to live. We must leave the form of the world behind. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When our life is transformed, we turn around and we walk the other way. No longer are we in the world forming to worldly ambitions and pride and fashions and carnal pleasure, but we begin to prove what the will of God is. Do you know how powerful that is? That your life is going to prove to the world what God's will is. You're never going to do that in your own strength because we're so carnal. But you mean that I could actually prove what God Almighty, the Creator's will is? Yes, if He lives in our lives. It's such a blessing that we have. No longer is it what I want out of life, but what God's will is. And this is impossible in ourselves. We need to pour out. We need to be willing to give our life to Christ. We need to be willing to be done with self. We need to be willing to die to self. But we say, I only have one life. I want all this stuff. I want what I want out of life. It's a choice we have to make. When we choose to follow God, He will then direct our thoughts. He will direct our actions. He will guide us in the future. Some people, God cannot force. God is like a shepherd, and we are like the sheep. And we keep our eyes on a shepherd. Now, we had sheep years ago, and we also had pigs years ago. We don't have any now. Did you ever try to chase a pig? Or try to move a pig. It's the most hopeless thing. They always want to go the opposite way. If they see a hole, they'll dive for that hole to go through. I remember a man that was holding a piece of tin, and we were guiding this pig, and he was holding two pieces of tin, and you know what? He forgot that there was a hole between his the pig could see, and that pig didn't care if the man was there. It went right between his legs. He landed on his back, and down through the barn, he went in the pig's back. You know, you can't, the pigs are horrible. The only way to do it is put a bucket over their head and back them up. That works. Sheep are different. You ever have sheep? If they know you, we had sheep. They didn't know me as their shepherd, but they knew my girls. And they would go out there and the sheep would all come running. They would just follow them wherever they went. These sheep would follow them and they had their eyes on the girls because they knew they were the ones that fed them. Am I like a pig or am I like a sheep? And do I have my eyes on the master, or do I want what I want out of life and I'm just going to bulldoze through to get that? We must live a life of prayer. Too many people, again, we looked at that in Esther. Too many people desire the leading of the Lord, but they never take time to fellowship through Him. Through fellowship with God in His secret closet of prayer, we can receive guidance and direction for our life. The story was told of a lady that lived in Ohio. And she said, one day I decided to take my three children to an ice skating party in nearby town. But after several wrong turns and stops to ask direction, I pulled over to the side of the road and suggested we all ask God to help us find the rink. When we finally arrived, we were nearly an hour late. The following week, as we got into the car to go skating again, my 5-year-old son exclaimed, Mom, let's pray now and save time. How many of us stumble through life never taking the time to pray? When this 5-year-old, he didn't understand, they knew the way then, but he said, Mom, let's pray. And how many of us have done that? We stumble through life. We don't understand why it's so hard. We face temptations and we fail. We fail to go back to the Master and to look at the Master. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 speaks of continuing instant in prayer. And how can we expect God to give us guidance if we are not communicating with Him? So prayer is a very vital link for us. And it's interesting, when you study into communication is 25% talking and 75% listening would be a definition of real communication. Sometimes when we pray, we do all the talking. We say, oh God, I want this and I want that and I want you to guide me and I want you to do this. And we go through that prayer and we're done with the prayer and we say amen and we take off. And we never give God time to really speak into our life. The next time you pray and you come to a place, let's beseech God and let's just open our heart's door and say, God, just speak to me. And maybe we go to the Word and we sit there and we meditate and we allow God to direct our thoughts. We give Him time to speak to us in prayer. We search the Scriptures is another way to find God's leading. We have a priceless possession in our presence this morning, God's Word. This book contains our spiritual food as well as many practical directions for our life. We're walking a path that's full of danger. The way is straight, it's narrow, it's hard to find, and we have been given a road map to find it. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Just read out of this road map a little bit. Romans 8, verses 1 to 8. Let's see what this road map says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There we have it, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We are filled not with flesh, but we're filled with the Spirit of God. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And we're going to stop there. This book is the Word of God. And He's saying, if you're going to mind the things of the flesh, if you're going to follow what you want out of life, if you're going to be carnally minded, you're going to die. You're going to lose the way. You're not going to make it to heaven. But if you're going to be spiritually minded, if you're going to be filled with the mind of Christ, then you can make it. That it's so clear in the Scriptures. There's so many things that we can take and apply to our life. And so when we make decisions in life, we say, well, what kind of car do I want to buy? And we think, okay, so I want, well, this is what I really want. I just really want this car. It got all the gadgets there are in this pickup, and this is just what I want. You know, Chevy Denali, that's what I want. I'm not getting Chevy Denali, if that's what you have. But why do I want that? Or Cadillac, you know. But when I pray about it, I know that really I can't afford it. I really don't need it. I know it tickles my flesh. And this car over here is just as good. That's an answer. You know, we'd like to say, God, lead us. And okay, God, lead us. Please, God, let me have this. Please, God, please, God. And finally God says, okay, if you want it, take it. And we think, okay, God, you know, I feel okay about it. But the Bible says, don't lay for yourself treasures on earth. Lay them up in heaven. Do with less here. Don't be proud. Search the Scriptures. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? I think it's something that we know well. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Doesn't that give a picture of the struggles we go through in life? We want this peace. We want faith. Oh, we pray, but we're not willing to give everything up. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of the word and have peace and contentment alway? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all must be laid. Oh, we never could tell what the Lord would bestow of the blessing for which we have prayed. To our body and soul, he doth fully control. To our body and soul, he doth fully control. And our all on the altar is laid. Who can tell of the love he will send from above, or how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we will share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar a sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and at peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. And we sing these songs. I think sometimes we fail to really think about the words. Many times, we lose the opportunity to be really full and really have that peace and that joy because we're holding on to a little bit of self. Many are the times where the poor people who search the scriptures but live a life of carnality unto death. We live, I think it's about something like 1,300 miles from here. And when I jump in a vehicle, and we're going to go back home, Lord willing, tomorrow, the road map tells me that I have to go east. But if I got out in the interstate of the thruway and I decided that GPS or road map is wrong, and I am going to go west, how long would I have to go west till I got home? In a couple days, I'd be bubbling around in the ocean, and I don't think our RV would go across it very well. Because I was so stubborn that I'm going to go west. But you know, the sad thing is, brothers and sisters, there are so many people that take this roadmap, and it says, here's the way to glory. Crucify yourself. Live for Jesus Christ. Put your all upon the altar. Let him guide you with his eye. He wants to. He loves you. He gave his life for you. And he said, no, but I want my way. And they're going to find themselves not bubbling around in an ocean. They're going to find themselves in a lake of fire and hell for eternity. Because they did not follow God's roadmap. How foolish can we be? Many poor people read the Bible and they say, this doesn't apply, that doesn't apply. That was for them back there. This is the roadmap, and it applies. This roadmap is a light in the way of the darkest place of our life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes it seems like there's no way through. It's dark, it's foggy, the mountains are storms. But this word of God, as we study in it, and as we read it, and as it purifies our heart, as it fills our life with power from the Holy Spirit, guides us and directs us, we can find our way through that dark, stormy path. We also need to be open to the brotherhood and seek counsel, another way to find God's will for our life. Sometimes this may be one of the hardest things, because we fear what others will advise, or what will they think of me? But what was the advice from the wisest man on earth? He gave us advice in Proverbs 11:14. He said, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. He understood the need for us to be vulnerable to each other, and especially in a brotherhood. There are many times in our life when we come to the valley of decisions, and we're here in this valley, and we can't see into the future. And there's two ways for us to go. We're at this Y in the road, and there's two ways to go. And we're here, we're trying to make up our mind. And we can't see out. But sometimes our brother are up higher. They're maybe up on top of the canyon. They look down at that valley of decision and they see us there struggling around. And they're up here higher where they can see out better. They have a clearer vision because their nose isn't so much to the grind wheel. And they're there available for us. And if we call out to them and say, "Brother, help me. I need your help." And he says, "Oh, yes, brother. God bless you. Here's the way I feel you should go. Here's what I see in your life. Here's the way to walk." And we say, "Oh, no, but that doesn't quite look right. That looks a little steeper there. And I think I'll go over here." You know, there's many times in my life when I've come to this valley of decisions or I'm in that, and I don't really want to open my life up because I know what I want. That's often the reason we don't want to be vulnerable to each other. But God has given us brethren and sisters who know the Lord and who can speak into our life. God help us to open and take the advice of this wise man and find ourselves in counsel. Another way to see the will of the Lord, to look into his eye, we need to wait on the Lord. This also is a hard thing at times because I don't know about it out here. Maybe it's different out here, but up there where we live, it's not very fun to wait. You know, we want to go with life. You know, we want to move on. We feel like we've been sitting here long enough. And, you know, why wait any longer? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many times does God just want us to say, "Melvin, relax, relax. You get your Bible out, you spend your time in prayer, and you just allow me to work in the situation. But I think I have to manage a situation. I have the bills that need paid," or whatever it may be. And God just says, "Wait on me." Joseph sat in prison approximately 5 years, I believe it was. And he waited a long time. Moses even beat that. Moses was in the desert, in the wilderness, 40 years. That's most of my life. He was out there tending sheep. And now sheep, if you know it, sheep were some of the lowest things according to the Egyptians. Remember, Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was the next in line there. He was pretty high. And for him to watch sheep was probably one of the lowest things he could have done, because shepherds were abhorred by the Egyptians. But God had him out there for 40 years watching sheep. Wait on the Lord. God is working in his life. Sometimes God makes his will known to us through circumstances. Yes, he works through circumstances. He brings things into our life. He opens and he shuts doors. And if we are really open to him, he will use these things to speak into our life. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." What I see in these verses is we're faced with infirmities. We're even to the place sometimes we don't even know how we ought to pray. But the Spirit, if we are filled again with the Spirit of God, and he is working in our life, and he is shaping our life, and he is using us, these times where we're facing difficult decisions, difficult things in our life, we don't even hardly know how to pray, the Spirit maketh intercession for us. The Spirit of God, Christ, that lives in our life, is in communication with our Heavenly Father, and He gives direction to us with, and even if we are groaning sometimes and don't even know how to. And we know that God loves us. Can we picture this? God does not want just to beat us up. God does not want to make life just miserable for us. God loves us. And He wants to lead us through the fire that we need to go through to purify us. He can see the dross in our life. He can see when the gold's not pure. And He says, my child, I need to allow you to go through this thing for your own good. I need, our brother talked about somebody that took a gold nugget to see if it was real gold and they dunked it into boiling lye or something like that. And said, if it's gold, it'll stay there. If it's not, it'll disappear. And he brought it out and it was shiny gold. You know, God allows us to go through these trials and these afflictions, and He allows us to face things in our life. And the other day, as I was thinking about this a week or two ago, I just prayed, you know, I said, God, it's a hard prayer to pray. I want to make it to glory with my family, and I want to make it there, and whatever it takes to get me there, just, Lord, bring it into our life. Help me through it. And that's a really hard prayer, and I don't live that way too many times. And that day, I don't know if this had anything to do with it or not, but that day, our main crusher, we have a gravel pit, and our main crusher, the bearings seized up. And I'm talking about, you know, 500-pound bearings, $20,000 worth of bearings seized right up in that crusher, and I couldn't crush anymore. And I wanted to get stuff done because winter's coming. We had to shut it down for the winter. I said, oh, Lord, I thought I should have, you know, made more product here. And there we are, shut down, you know. And we have this big job in our hands, and we didn't have the finances to do it in the first place. So I think. But I really wonder if God took me serious and said, you know, you still have some of your own things in there. You're determined to get this done instead of just giving it all to me. I'm going to test you. I want to purify you. Whatever it is. God help us. Well, time to close. What are just a couple hindrances in God's divine leading? I think the biggest hindrance is ourself. I am my own self is my biggest enemy. I'm my own enemy. The devil brings things into our life, and he works in our lusts, and he works in our pride, and he tries to get us, you know, to doubt God. He says, you know, it's all about life is all about self. God will not drive us. Unconfessed sin in our life will bar us from God's leading. Youth, this morning, your life is laying before you. I don't know what God has you here for, but He has you here for a purpose. And He wants to use you, and the adults as well. But if there is one little bit of sin you're hiding in your life, maybe it's something that nobody knows is there. It's that little closet that has something, some selfishness or some pride. Maybe it's something you're hiding from your parents. Maybe it's something you're not quite willing to give up, but you put on a good front and you dress just right and you talk just right. God cannot lead you. Confess it all. Why not? Don't go the opposite direction. We think it would be ridiculous if we went the opposite direction with our vehicles. But don't go the opposite direction. Right here it is. Follow it. Disobedience to God's leading is going to bar us from Him guiding us with His eye. Acting upon our own feelings instead of God's leading and counsel. Following our whims and desires instead of following Christ. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 yet. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Regardless of where you are this morning in your life, remember, God has a perfect plan for you. And as you submit your life to him and seek his will, you will find yourself guided by his eye. You will find a life of peace and joy and happiness. And that's not the best. You will find yourself someday standing before that great judge and hearing his words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thy Lord." Let's stand for prayer.